You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome to the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglman. Joining me in the home studio is Blake Ingebrigtsen. Blake, how are you?
Doing great. It's UND week.
It is.
The only way it gets any better is Bison not getting a 25-point shellacking like 2 years ago up in the Alaris. And
way to start the show out on a high note.
I'm leading into it.
Okay.
We'll be up there on Saturday afternoon. Very excited for that. Not to be in Grand Forks, but to be at the game.
We? You mean we?
No, not I. Singular, I.
That was the royal we that you were using. Okay.
Yes. But no, I am excited to be up there. Whatever Bison fans are making the trip, God bless your soul, and hopefully it's a good one. It should be two good football teams, in all honesty. So excited to get things going up tomorrow.
I will be hosting our tailgating group at Golf NXT. We're going to take Bay 5. It's one of the cool things that we have at NXT is the fact that our simulators obviously run on PCs. Well, you can shut the golf simulation down and just turn on YouTube TV or ESPN Plus and watch TV on a 14-foot screen.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, our group will be there. If you guys haven't been, this is a little bit of an ad read, but if you guys have not been to Golf NXT, come check us out, specifically this Saturday if you want to. We'll have the game on multiple screens. As I said, one of the simulator bays will have the game on. We're a fully operational battle station, and it's been fun so far. Diving into the news, Bryce Lance has been invited to the Shrine Bowl in Frisco, Texas. I think of late, it's like the Shrine Bowl got Edgerrin Cooper, who's like going to be an All-Pro for the Packers, but like Edgerrin Cooper even going into that All-Star season was definitely good enough to go to the Senior Bowl. And I think there's been other examples of that where sometimes the Shrine Bowl just gets guys that the Senior Bowl wants, and it used to never happen. Which is all for me to say that I think there's a decent chance, depending on how he runs, that Bryce Lance is a top 50 pick. And if Bryce Lance is a top 50 pick, well, he should be Senior Bowl. Because you think of all the underclassmen. I mean, in general, you think of how many guys would go to the Senior Bowl anyway, and it's more than 50. But then you take, like, obviously all the underclassmen. I think juniors can go to the Senior Bowl now, but it doesn't matter. And also, I don't know that Bryce has accepted this invitation. But all of this is to say very simply that I don't take offense to the fact that this is only a Shrine Bowl invite, or even maybe shouldn't use the term only a Shrine Bowl invite. because I believe that Bryce is every bit as good or every bit of a... in fact, I think... I don't know that I would predict Bryce to have... Of course, health is always a part of it too, but I don't know that I would predict Bryce to have the same impact as Christian Watson. But I think Bryce is probably at a higher position on the consensus right now than Christian was in November before he got drafted. And Christian went to the Senior Bowl.
He did.
Not the Shrine.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm talking a lot to say that don't get bent out of shape that this is not a Senior Bowl invite. Hoops adds a 7-footer, Colin Stack, to the 26 class. 5 high school commits in the class. That's pretty darn exciting. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how big of an exodus. I don't think they're going to take the scholarships away from any of these kids, but you see how many guys leave this year. And then I think, you know, guys that leave this year, if anybody does, you probably wouldn't add a 6th high school commit, right? Those will be replaced by other portal things. But I think any time when you have a 13-man roster or 12-man roster, to have 5 of them be freshmen is rare in today's day and age. So that's really interesting. First 7-footer in a long time. Jordan Meidinger from Dickinson.
Yep.
And that just didn't work, unfortunately. Couldn't stay healthy. But, yeah, as far as... I think if this kid contributes, it'd be the first one in D1 because Morms was, I think, 6'10 or 11. Rocky's 6'10. Grant.
I think Grant was 6'11.
Right.
So you're pushing it, but...
Yeah. Some places list this kid as 7'1. And that's not to say that he's automatically going to be good just by being tall. But what was the Western Illinois center that screwed everything up just by being like 7'1"?
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. I don't remember.
Goofy white boy. Can't remember his name for the life of me. You know who I'm talking about, though.
I know
though.
Who you're talking about. But I think this kid can be a rim protector they might not have had in a few years. So yeah, I'm not sure about the 5 commit. I feel like 5 high school kids is kind of a lot, maybe in the portal era, maybe not. I don't know.
But there's probably a market inefficiency. I've talked to coaches about this before. Like, there are underserved high school commits. There are absolutely guys that would be getting an offer if it weren't for the portal. They're like, the top tier high school guys obviously go. Your Caleb Wilsons go to UNC. Your DeBances go to BYU. Your Darren Petersons go to Kansas. And your Boozers go to Duke. That all stuff happens. And then there's even the next 200 kids, if not 300 kids, that are going to continue to get, you know, picked up by top-level schools. But after that, the top-level schools are looking overseas. The top-level schools are looking for, you know, mid-major all-stars. Like Coach Richmond, and we'll have this next week, right? I think Tuesday morning is the plan. Like Dave and I talked about this. The first and second team all Summit League is just gone. And you'd hope that maybe sometime that stops. But the first and second team all league for the Summit pretty much bounces now, which is crazy. So again, like I said, I'm hoping that Richmond has found, you know, a market inefficiency and a bunch of guys that, you know, in a different set of circumstances pre-portal, you know, might have gone to lower level Power 5, might have gone to super high level mid-majors, you know, like a Drake or like, you know, like a Creighton at the time or a Wichita State at the time. Like maybe they're getting high level Missouri Valley kids, but because those Missouri Valley schools or low-level Big Ten schools are just portal. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Silas Evans been dismissed from the team. He was hurt. He also broke rule number 4, which is kind of their, like, representation of the program rule. It's funny. The funny is not the right word. That always sucks, and they're going to help him with the rest of his injury. But what I say funny is just because Polisek was like, I'm sure you guys are going to ask me questions. No one asked anything about it.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
And it was might just be because he wasn't a contributor yet. Colorado State transfer. I think they liked him, and you know we'll talk about the way too early preview for 2026 at some point. But you look at the wide receiver production this year. You take out Bryce and Raj, and there's not a lot. So it will be somewhat interesting to track. You know what next year looks like, and what next year looks like might have included a Silas Evans.
Yeah, right now it's Jackson Williams is really the only
Mekhi Collins. Jackson Williams, oh, Mekhi, sure. Collins, yep. Would be a big one. I think they like Dylan Volko. I think they like obviously Isaiah St. Romain. And honestly, if Nathan Hayes just wants to throw the ball 12 times a game to Reese Kessel, I'm not going to stop him from any of that either. And then you wonder too, like what kind of a jump can Jet Zabel take? Jet, it's surprising from a 24/7 sports recruiting standpoint that it's Reese having this year and not Jet. You know, Jet was incredibly highly thought of. This is not the day to go into all this, but you know, as you might expect, the cupboard is not bare at North Dakota State University. And maybe they go out and try and get a dude at receiver, but again, Mekhi Collins, Jackson Williams, I think they're, and Isaiah St. Romain, I think you have the building blocks there to be you know, pretty competitive on the outside with Nathan Hayes. And then, you know, if you're actually looking for, okay, who's the matchup problem, it's Reese Kessel.
Yeah. Yeah, and even, well, Conklin as well, but I mean, Kessel's already a problem. He might be the best receiving tight end in the Valley right now.
He is.
He is. I mean, he might be the best overall if he can.
He might be the best player in college football.
But no, like, if, because we keep talking about like him and the run game.
Yeah.
If he gets that knitted up, which I think he will as a 20-year-old right now, probably, or whatever he is, he's gonna be a dang problem.
I can't remember who I was texting, but you know, when Coach kind of gave me attitude, just on the scale of Tim giving me attitude, this was really low. But you know, he's like, "You're always asking about Reese. It's like you guys can't wait till he's all conference." I want to be like, "No, Tim, Walter Payton Award winner Reese Kessel is actually what I'm after." So if you could start to like Dallas Goedert him, that would be great.
Your Luke Musgrave crone.
Yeah. Yeah, the seam, Tim. Vertical balls up the seam. Oh, man. Get to the shack tonight. I'll be there with my two beautiful children. Gonzaga in the house for a women's game. I know men's basketball has been frustrating so far. I'm not going to panic. I think, you know, even if they're bad at shooting threes, they're going to be better than this. I mean, if they shot 30%, which is not a particularly good percentage, if they shot 30% from three, they would be 2-0 with a win over Oregon State.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to panic. And then you look at the rest of the league, and you're really not going to panic. South Dakota State almost lost to Dakota State, which you pointed out is an NIAA school that's in that, like, Dakota Magic Conference or whatever the heck it's called with Mayville State and Valley City State.
Yeah, the old North Star now is the Frontier or whatever.
Anyway.
Not great.
After squeaking by Merrimack. But they're 2-0 and NDSU's 0-2, so it's hard to talk a ton of trash. But you watch UND lose two games. Omaha's 0-2. Denver's going to fall to 0-2. Who knows with the league, and there's some good things with NDSU men's basketball right now, but the ball's got to go through the net. The ball has, though, been going through the net for these NDSU women. Opening the season at UNI and kind of taking it to them. I mean, that game got a little bit hairy in the third quarter, but that fourth quarter was a walk. And the first half, for the most part, was a walk. But you get an opportunity to take on a real name brand like Gonzaga. And Gonzaga women's basketball is not Gonzaga men's basketball. But it's going to be fun, man. I like this group. Avery Kunin is super fun to watch. Jossie Schiller is fun. And then also, with it being UND week, it's a fun little thing that she's a Grand Forks girl who won Freshman of the Year while playing at UND and immediately bolted to Fargo. If you have some of that Bison Fighting Hawk like Schadenfreude in you, it's fun to watch Jossie Schiller. Frost is good. I like all the things that Abby Graham does. Like they're. I mean, we have a mandate from CBS to cover men's basketball and football. There might have to be at least a weekly check-in on these NDSU women as I just dump more things onto your plate. But it's a fun group. Get out to the Shack tonight. As we mentioned, hoops dropped the first two. 8 of 58 from 3. You know, so again, if they make 16 or 17 of 58, they're 2-0. Their open looks. Tae Smith was the only player to hit a three on Wednesday. Should have won on Monday. Mark Iowa was a beast. And they are playing Andy Stefanowicz and Damari Wheeler-Thomas at the same time. Andy's actually getting more minutes despite the fact that he's coming off the bench. I think he has a chance to be a really, really special basketball player, but I think Damari Wheeler-Thomas still has utility. I need to see more. You'll listen. David Richmond has some really nice things to say about Travian Carson. I need to see that. I need to see more out of him. He was frustrating to watch. Noah Feddersen was frustrating to watch. And just in general, I think the frustration of watching guys take really good looks that were gotten through good offense and brick them was hard. Like that whole thing was not particularly enjoyable to watch. Youngstown State, toughest game so far. Oh, I suppose that 8-point game is the closest game, not the 17.
Yeah.
But
I suppose
that's all right. Crazy week in the FCS in general. 4 of the top 8 lost. Bo Brungard, man, is good. Hard to bring down, and just so laterally quick that I just think he's tough to square up. And I think Tim talked about that, or maybe one of the players did in the post game press conference, where it was Duty, I think.
It was Duty.
Yeah, Duty was talking about, like, I don't really want to get in front of Cole Payton, but I can. You know, like, I can take a Cole Payton face mask to my face mask. I can't even square up this dude. Like, he's just like, I don't know how to get at him. But Brungard was good. NDSU lost 30 points and 366 yards. Both of those are their worst performances of the season. They only had 327 yards. People were like, oh, they got outgained and this and that. But, guys, you can't get back yards from big plays. And it might sound like I'm making excuses for the Bison offense, but when Youngstown State's kick returner has the ball go off his face and then loses it, and you start a drive 11 yards from the end zone, that's not your offense's fault. When Jackson Williams stampedes the opposing kicker and goes back to the crib and you get 7 points and your offense gets 0 yards, that's not your offense's fault. Some of those circumstances, and frankly, the Donovan Woolen pick set up a super short field. You can't get yards that aren't there. And I'm not saying it was a flawless offensive performance, but I think this whole NDSU got outgained and should have lost stuff is pretty overblown.
Yeah, it's a little bit, it gives me box score watcher vibes a little bit. Just because, like, at halftime, they had 120 yards. Well, two of their drives were 19 and 9 yards. What do you want them to do?
Resulted in touchdowns.
Right. Do you want them to false start 8 times in a row?
Right, so you can get some yardage, yeah.
And then Jackson Williams just not run over the kicker and step out of bounds? No, I mean, Again,
score when it's time to score.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like we're going to talk about this week, special teams was big. Again, I mean, Doug Phillips was almost a little beside himself in the press conference talking about special teams. And we'd been waiting to see that from Jackson Williams all year a little bit. At least I thought it was good to see him break one.
Love to see Dutton have her back. He had a nice moment post-game just talking about his love for his teammates and, you know, getting to play in that game. There's some injury stuff going on. Two backup linebackers are out for the season. Crumby and Duffy will probably not play against UND. Duffy, I think they need to get out there. Like one guy nobody's asked about is Najee Nelson. I don't know why he's just not a part of what they're doing at corner. Obviously, Will Washington, who I had high hopes for, Will Washington just left the team in over the course of the summer or whatever. But I thought Najee Nelson would at least push for corner four. That's Antoine Booth, the JMU kid, which is fine. I mean, that's why you go into the portal to find some depth. I would expect, and by the way, that's, you know, Marcus Williams and CJ Smith played every snap. There are plenty of versions of Bison football where the two outside corners have just played the whole game. That's not that weird. But you're going to see that, I think, potentially from Chidemme Alfaro and Chiquise. Like, they might just have to play corner this week in a way that, again, a lot of corners have done in NDSU history and just played the duration.
Yeah, I think they like, I asked, you know, Coach P, I think they like what they have at corner in Booth.
I agree with you and I understand. But again, it's not a crazy ask to just ask your corners to play the whole game. So do they do it?
Well, I mean, Jaquise has already done that. I mean, he is the second best corner. I mean, this is a kid who was one of the higher recruits NDSU has had.
Yes.
Ever. Yep. Had some pretty good offers, obviously, wound up here in Fargo, the Florida kid. But Shadim Alfaro's aunt, he's got to clean up some of the penalties. I thought, you know, people say, you know, he had a good game on Saturday, and, you know, he's a bigger bodied corner, so he defends the run pretty well. Had that big forced fumble. Some of the pass coverage stuff I'm going to keep my eye on, where the hands are, and if that forces the officials to, you know, penalize him for that, as they have done a handful of times. But I'll be interested in safety too. I know you asked him about that as well, with Crumby out, you know, what that means for guys having to play both spots, and Darius Givens having to play both, Orion Jones, you know, Taylen Eady, who I'd have to look at the PFF stuff, but I believe Taylen Eady got the pretty vast majority of the snaps as the number two safety. And I think that's what they're going to go with there. But again, Crumby has played pretty well. So again, that's probably two of their top, maybe three players in the secondary.
I like the Eady Givens group. It's a lot of athleticism.
It for sure is.
Yeah.
So interested to see there. Logan Larson as well. People might have saw he limped off the field. That was a cramp, but he had some other
bursa sack stuff, I think.
Yeah, there was that, and plus it's more of a, there's a little bit of a calf thing going on too.
Okay.
But it sounds like he's fine, and he'll play. So that'll be big for them up front.
Sure.
Going into UND.
Yeah. UND, chance they still miss the playoffs, but Eric Schmidt's done a really good job. Left San Diego to work in Grand Forks, which I just don't even, like, my brain doesn't function that way. I think his wife is from Crookston. She better love Crookston, man, because I've been to San Diego. I've been to Carlsbad. I've been to Encinitas. I barely came back, and that was just a vacation. I don't know how he ended up here. But he's done a really good job. You know, we talk about missing the playoffs. You talk about potentially losing this game. That would bring you to three losses, and then, of course, potentially losing, or excuse me, that would bring you to four losses. Yeah. And potentially losing, of course, to South Dakota State should Chase Mason come back. Well, that'd bring you to five losses. And does a five-loss UND team get into the playoffs with the Kansas State loss? I don't know. I don't know that that's the conversation. Like, I don't know that this is the forum to have that conversation or the time to talk about it. I just don't know. Should have probably beaten Kansas State. I don't know about so much should have beaten Montana. And then last week...
Well, could have.
Yeah, could have. Could have. Last week with USD, I think they actually kind of, you know, we were making fun of the box score, whatever. They sort of did outplay USD and just kept doing weird stuff and turning the ball. Like that fumble return touchdown where the ball just like squirted out of the scrum, and then the guy who picked the ball out of the fumble scrum was never down by contact, and then he just ran. Like, that's 7 points. You know what I mean? And there was really... Now, if you were cheering against UND, I'm not going to admit to any of that, but if you were cheering against UND, it was all fun to watch, but it was a very frustrating watch. And if you wanted to talk to me about UND maybe still being the better team, like, there's parts of that that I would maybe buy. Certainly more than I would buy, Youngstown is better than NDSU based on this number, that number, whatever. I think UND maybe did outplay USD, but they didn't win the game. NDSU, this line jumping around a little bit, 10.5-point favorites, but it'll be tough and loud in the Letter Center. The staff has been using leaf blowers to emulate noise. And Polisek mentioned Dan Larson's got to be decisive, loud, clear with the calls that he gets into Cole Payton. Obviously, this being the first year that the FCS able to use those communication systems, give Cole Payton the old green dot. Then we got to talk about the game in 2023. You'll be there.
I will.
You were there in 2023.
I was, unfortunately.
I won't do either. I won't be there this week. And then obviously did not go in 2023. It was funny. We were at tailgating last week and we're talking about who's hosting, and my cousin, who has a really very nice house just kind of between where I live here in Oxbow and Fargo, and in a great spot for entertaining, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with his place at all. And they're just like, where are we watching the game? I said, not there, because that's where we watched all as a family in 2023.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm not going there, which is, of course, completely illogical. But just said, I'm not going back to the scene of that crime. Obviously, special teams and field position were huge. The Skokner kick return, the CJ Siegel pick of Cam Miller. NDSU 1-1 D1 in the Alaris, 0-2 D2. That equates to 1-3 all time. And, NDSU's been tough to beat at the Dome. Certainly, basically impossible to beat at the Dome for UND in the D1 era. And I think Schmitty is kind of fixing some of this. But 33-5 at home since 2019 and 9-28 on the road. That, Blake, is crazy.
Very much. I think two of those losses were at the end of last year. So and they've won a few games on the road with Schmitty now. So that was even more drastic. It is a good home field advantage. It really is when it gets rocking in there. And obviously, I'm well aware of that. And the thing too, but I get it. Like, NDSU's got to go to South Dakota State this year. UND this year, but then they got to go to Grand Forks again next year.
Yeah, that is weird.
So, and I get what they're doing, right? You want to stagger it, so you're not playing your two biggest rivals on the road in the same year every other year. I get it. Nonetheless, to have to go to Grand Forks 2 years in a row and 3 out of 4 years is not fun for anybody at NDSU. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, I'm with you. As far as this year's game, NDSU can clinch the MVFC with a win. And even with a loss, they'll more than likely win the NMVSC. They'll more than likely be the 2 seed. You know, I have spoken, obviously, about, you know, how little I think this game means. And not that you ever want to lose to UND, but I just, I mean, in the sense of, okay, North Dakota State wants to win a national championship. They want to do that. They want home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And one of the other goals every year is to win the conference. They could lose this game by 70, and none of those goals change at all. Or, you know, you can go and look at that banner in the south end zone and know that some of those conference championships were shared, but it's not written up there. You don't get any less of a trophy. Like, it doesn't matter. With that said, win the game. With that said, beat them there. Like, that is important stuff. UND's 6th in the country in run defense, gettable in the passing game. I think some of that, honestly, Blake, is it's up to Coach P and Dan Larson. Like, if the run game, it's not a pride thing necessarily, but it's just like a what you're comfortable doing. How when running the ball is that much in your DNA, if the tailback run game and if the Cole run game is getting stuffed, how soon do they just say, let's throw it? And you've seen them do it this year.
Yeah, the SEMO game was
right.
Throw it down there.
I mean, right. And I think you do have really, really positive matchups, I think, with North Dakota State, as far as out wide. I don't love what NDSU or what UND would have to combat a Bryce Lance. I don't love what they would have to combat a Reese Kessel. And then Raj always gets his too. Defense, though, much improved. Last 8 years under Bubba, they've averaged 27 per game given up. This year, they're only giving up 17.1 to FCS opponents. That's impressive, excuse me. Malachi McNeil at linebacker is the big hitter, and Lance Rucker is the game wrecker, if you will. Certainly the one to pay attention in the same way, I suppose, that you paid attention to Kobe Claiborne. I'm not saying they play football the exact same way, but just this is who you're tagging on the defensive line, certainly. Gavin Zebarth out. As we mentioned, Luke Skokin no longer there. But Sawyer Seidel has been really good at the running back position. Coach P mentioning that Sawyer, a player that he recruited, I think obviously that during his time at Wyoming, he's been good. They'll run heavy personnel, which honestly, I think NDSU's probably pretty pleased with that. Like, I think Staling and Kopp are more than happy to fight you in a phone booth. I mean,
oh yeah, they're looking at their licking their chops at that, I would think.
You can't get more spread out than NDSU was spread out by Youngstown last week. Not only formationally and just how they designed their quads look and their trips looks and all that stuff, but they had like no downhill run game. A ton of their rushing production came on what had to have been incredibly annoying side-to-side stuff. Jet action type stuff. Like horizontal run game city where you're talking about UND getting into heavy personnel and NDSU being able to play Woolen not detached from the formation, but Woolen, Kopp, and Stalling all by each other.
Yeah, I mean, you can see Youngstown kind of spread things out in those trips looks. And it reminded me, I'm like, oh, are we going to have a 22-23 Bison where you spread you out and they just get killed in the middle of the field? And that might have happened once or twice. I think the tight end ripped up the seam for the one touchdown. But like you said, it was generally that I think Kai Wilson, the receiver, a lot of running around. Bo Brungard, like we mentioned, like Duty mentioned, you can't stay in front of him. It's going to be a little bit different type of deal. They're not probably going to run way off the tackles. I wouldn't think a bunch this week. And I just got it. Nate Stalling, that's his strength, is stopping the run. Donovan Woolen, who is from space, from Mars, maybe even further out in the galaxy. You got to like what he can do in space, or even in anything he does, frankly. But as far as that, I mean, there's the element of Jerry Kaminsky as well. You know, he can run around, whether that be in the scramble game, whether that be in the design run game. He can hurt you. He can hurt you in the pass game. Like you mentioned with Sawyer, it's a guy he recruited. Seems to speak pretty highly of him as well. Back when he was at Wyoming with Coach Bowl, of course. Obviously, I think there's a connection there with his dad.
Is that what, Kaminsky?
Yeah.
Both. Yeah, Kaminsky's dad is a heck of a high school football coach. They run a good program, and it's too bad he's at UND. No. honestly, though, you know, I made the joke off air. Like, there should be retroactive extra firings for Bubba's staff for somehow throwing Romfo out there over this kid. And it's like, yes, I guess there's a way that you know, there was major development, and there, you know, the maybe the competition didn't go that way. I just remember watching Romfo and watching this kid, and it's just a different strategy. It's like, you know, you can talk yourself into excuses for Matt Entz and Tyler Roll not using Bryce Lance, but now, kind of no matter what, it looks pretty silly.
Yeah. Yeah, and
even admitting that there was probably significant physical and mental development for Bryce in that offseason, I think, I don't know if it's to that degree, but you look back at the Bryce situation and you go, why was that happening? And now I think you look back at the Jerry Kaminsky situation if you're a UND football game, and you're like, how did our staff possibly do this before?
Yeah, I know they hinted at maybe there's some development there. Maybe there was. It's,
you would hope so.
You would hope so, because it is night and day. And I'm not saying this is a, you know, Jamarcus Russell season that 2024 was at quarterback for the Hawks. But 2025 has been, like I said, sun up, sun down. I mean, just completely different. And like you said, a head coach and a quarterback, and that's what it's taken for them. Obviously, the defense has helped, but having Jerry back there has certainly been a catalyst for what they're able to do offensively, and to not only win but be competitive in some big-time games.
Balanced on the offensive side, out wide in a way that they haven't been in a while, just because Bo Belquist was so good and required so much volume. And both have championship caliber numbers, but UND's drop off versus their quality opponents, and NDSU's been really successful against their quality opponents. Blake, give me a score prediction, please.
I'm not going to sugarcoat, give you any faux analysis here or anything like that. Bison haven't really been kept under 30. In fact, they haven't been kept up under 30. Defenses stay strong, but UND will probably get their own because they're capable enough. but I got it right around where the spread is. Bison 31, UND 21.
I'm right there with you. NDSU 34, North Dakota 21. I've got a 13-point Bison victory. Again, entertainment purposes only, that would be covering the spread. Folks, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to our sponsor, Gateway Chevrolet. Thank you, Blake, for taking the time to do this. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and go Bison.